Welcome to the Marriage Podcast with David and Summer.
We're here to dive into all things marriage, faith, and family. Real talk for real couples.
Thanks for joining us. Let's get into today's episode.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Marriage Podcast with Dave and Summer. We're so glad you're here, and we believe that every marriage can make it and that every marriage has a purpose. And I'm excited about this episode. It's actually going to be broken up into a few episodes, part one, part two, because we're talking about race, politics, and faith. Big dogs. This is the big one. These are big stuff. This is big stuff right now.
Yeah, it is big stuff. We went to a conference last weekend? Mm-hmm. No, the weekend before last in Virginia, and there was a couple that came up who were interracial and wanted to talk about race in marriage.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I may have said this before, but you prayed if you married a white guy, he had to be bald.
You just said,
look at me.
I he says that, this all the time. He loves this story. I may have said
that,
this before.
I was that bald white guy. And so, but I would say that you and I didn't plan on marrying someone that was white or black. I think you did. God just connected us.
Dude.
True that?
You wanted this black woman.
Okay.
No, I did. No, you're right. You're right.
I married you, didn't I?
Gosh. Yes, you did. So, yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. I was not planning on, if someone told me, what, we're married 18? Mm-hmm. 18 years, going on 19. Someone told me, what, 25 years ago? Because I can't remember how long we dated. That I would marry a white man, I would be like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
I remember when we first, were we dating or were we married? And you were you asked me the question, I think you're still surprised that you're married to a white man.
I remember that. Yeah.
And I was like, things. How did you know?
Good things. Obviously, it's great being married to you. I would say we've had a great relationship. We've grown a lot. I've been changed a lot by God. I think you've been changed. I would say probably in the time we've been together, dating and married, probably 2020 was the year that race was probably more magnified in our lives than any other year in terms of just, we talked about it a lot and do, but that year with everything going on in our country, we would talk almost every day. We'd walk the dog and talk in the mornings because school was shut down. Our kids were at home.
We have nowhere to go.
And nowhere to go. And so we would walk around the neighborhood every day for, it seemed like several weeks or a couple months or more, mm-hmm. and just talk about this whole thing. And I think when I look back on that, that really bonded us even at another level. We were already bonded, but then it just went to another gear of talking and sharing. And so we're still learning. We don't have all the answers. But I know I love my wife, mm-hmm. and I think you love me. I'm just joking.
Yeah.
And we're raising a family and doing it God's way. And so we just want to share what we've talked about in our personal lives and how we navigate this. We understand this topic is sensitive. It's,
I know. Let me undo my legs so I can be open.
It's
free.
It's intense. People respond to it in different ways. Yeah. Every time we've preached on race here at church, somebody, you know, I would say someone kind of gets worked up a little bit,
different,
tense. So we don't have the answers, but here's how we do it. I would say that one thing that really stands out to me with you and I is that the book of Revelation talks about John in his vision saw around the throne every tribe, nation, and tongue. And he saw them worshiping God together, which speaks of, obviously, Jesus is the desire for all nations. He's the Savior of the world. What it shows me, though, is that when we get to heaven, our ethnicity, our cultural heritage will still be seen. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know that sounds dumb, but like when we get to heaven, we're all not going to be the same color or change.
Right.
Like, our nationality and where we've come from is all going to be intact, and we're all around the throne worshiping God. So I say that to say that we do see ethnicity. We do see the heritage. We do see color, and we celebrate that because God made us that way. And that's a big deal because I know sometimes people say they don't see color, and I know why they say that. I know the angle they're saying that, and I think that's great. But I think that God sees color. Mm-hmm. And heaven is going to reflect color in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And one way is our nationality and our heritage. Mm-hmm. And so we celebrate that in our family and talk about it.
Right. Well, and I would say that before 2020, mm-hmm. we talked about it a lot because mm-hmm. we were interracially dating and
right.
planning on getting married.
Right.
And so we mainly talked about it. I think my angle was more for our kids.
Yep.
I remember the first time that when we were dating, we were walking into a restaurant and I can't remember. I think it was maybe a young kid, you know, mm-hmm. maybe a teenager, and was just kind of looking at us a little different.
Yeah.
But I always had the mentality, and this is just me being Summer, is, dang, we must look good. Because
he was staring hard.
Yeah, but I took on that mentality and I was just like, my man looks good, you know, and I'm beside him and you know, da 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 da. So and then, you know, there's other places where, you know, people would maybe look, but I don't look for it. I yeah. really don't.
No.
I purposely do not
yep.
look for it. So I say that to say those who are interracially married, dating, to not focus on it, because if you do, then you'll find it. Mm-hmm. And then I'll also add that I remember when we got married and at our wedding reception, your brother, he is the oldest, so his brother underneath him, mm-hmm. Zach, he was his best man. And I didn't, basically, he said he was very profound. I'll give you a little shout out, Zach. Mm-hmm. He was very profound of what he was saying mm-hmm. in his toast, just about us coming together, these two ethnicities.
Right.
This can be a lot, but you know, he was really like, I guess, uplifting us in it.
Yeah.
I really didn't take it in that moment. Granted, I mean, we just got married, so it was just like, woo, you know. But as years and months go on, it was just like, no, yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that our history in America mm-hmm. has set up the household as far as it's easier. I would say this, and I've said this to him before, it's easier for a household to have the same ethnicity, mm-hmm. I think, because of our history. However, I think that when we are planted and rooted in Christ,
right.
He makes it easier
yep.
because we're not following an experience, mm-hmm. but we're following the Holy Spirit.
That's right. And Jesus loves all people. Jesus died for all people. Jesus made all people. And sometimes people have said, you know, very rare, that the Bible speaks against interracially dating
yeah.
and marriage.
Someone said that, yeah.
Based in the Old Testament primarily, but we know that that's not true.
No.
The Bible's referencing, specifically in the book of Ezra, the Bible's referencing that he didn't want his people to marry, intermingle with other heritages based on faith, not mm-hmm. based on culture or a race.
Right.
We know that Moses married an African lady.
Mm-hmm.
So he's talking about mixing faith and then ultimately drifting away from Jesus or away from God.
Right.
Because you're mixing beliefs. So that's the, you know, point of scripture.
Yeah.
What we do in our marriage, I think we're working on this, is that we celebrate each other. We are different. I'm white. Well, I'm just saying, I'm white.
I'm black.
You're black. Journey is one of the best bands of all time.
Yeah. I wasn't raised up on this stuff. So you say Journey, Boys to Men.
Okay. Larry Bird.
Magic Johnson.
All right. And I would say Magic too. I'm a fan of both. We have different stories. I'm from a two-parent home.
I'm from a single parent to mm-hmm. a blended family home.
Right. My experience is different, and your experience is different.
Mm-hmm.
And so those things could divide, but we choose to make those things actually be the glue or a glue that bonds us together even tighter. Mm-hmm. And so we celebrate the differences. In our home, we celebrate the Black history and heritage of your family.
Mm-hmm.
We celebrate my cultural heritage. We tell our kids that you have the blessing and the unique privilege of being white and Black, mm-hmm. that you're both and you're in one. And we've had situations pop up with our kids. Not a whole lot, thank God. One of them, our son, was called the N-word and a monkey. And so when I picked him up from the bus stop, he was crying. So we went to that kid's house and we beat him up. That's how we handled it. I'm a good dad. But no, I'm just kidding. I paid another kid and that kid beat him up. But the point of what we did is we came back home and he told me, he said, "Dad, I want to forgive him." And so I prayed with Zayden, and long story short, that young man changed, had an attitude change toward our son, ended up coming to church, receiving Christ, getting water baptized, and moving forward. So we've had things happen, but we fortify the blessing and the unique privilege, and we honor both and talk about both and celebrate both. And your mom is a great, you know, blessing in our life. Of course, your brother and his family, my friends from my childhood that are white, black, African, Indonesian, Filipino, the whole deal. We have this, and then our church is amazing. Our church is a great church where we have 46 nationalities in our church. Our kids get to be around different people. Their youth leaders are for our boys are different ethnicities. And so I'm thankful for that. Now, I understand that everyone maybe has that experience, but we have learned to celebrate the differences and let that be a place that we bond together.
Yeah. And I would say that it has, I don't think we, I'll speak for myself. I don't think I have arrived as far as, I would just say that it's the race in America is still challenging. It's a touchy subject. And, you know, when you talk about our kids, like that was one incident with Zayden, but there's been multiple incidents with Zayden. There was an incident with Kendallin.
Right.
Our older two really haven't had that much. It's kind of interesting, even though they're all at the same school. But it's still hard. It's still frustrating. But to your point, yes, you know, we do our best to celebrate and to, you know, acknowledge that we do see color and that it's beautiful. I'll add, though, you know, one of the reasons why it's fun to celebrate color is because when we looked at the Lovings story, and the Lovings was the first interracial marriage that was legal here in America. I think it was in Virginia.
It was. And they had to go to, the Supreme Court?
They had to go to the Supreme
Court.
That
ruled they was, because they got arrested in the middle of the night.
Right.
Police came in the
I mean, it was terrible. It's a great, cool documentary. Yeah. But that happened, in the 70s, you know?
Yep.
And I was born in the 80s. It's crazy. You were born in the 70s. But my point is, there's a documentary specifically on the Lovings children, I think. It's a Facebook documentary, and they talk about the kids. So they talk about children who were raised in that generation, and they are biracial, and several of them who were adopted I don't know if they were adopted or not, but several of them who were raised in just one race home, they didn't acknowledge their other side. And they were saying that they felt a certain way about it. It was a negative way. And so I just think it's so important to celebrate all of you.
That's right.
And our kids know that in America that people will look at them as black. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know, there's some people that can't even believe that Zayden has a white dad.
Yeah, Zayden at school will look up our church and show him pictures of me and say, "That's my dad," and his friends won't believe him.
Yeah. Or AJ. I think AJ has had that too. And they're like, "You don't even look alike." And a lot of people say AJ looks like me, but he's like, "If you see my mom, you'll understand." So, I mean, it's part of it. Yep. But I think our church is so unique. And I don't know if I shared this on the podcast, but your grandfather, Reverend Kirby Tiller, God bless Grandpa Tiller. He wanted us to name our first son Kirby. And we remember him just by telling that story.
We love you, Grandpa. No.
He's in heaven. But he had the church, 40 years before your parents had the church? And the Holy Spirit shared with him in prayer to not make it hard for people to come to our church. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was talking about ethnicity. Mm-hmm. And so he opened the doors, and I think, you know, he got maybe little backlash, you know, some backlash from that. Mm-hmm. So I'm just thankful for his obedience because, to your point, our church has so many different ethnicities, mm-hmm. and it's been a beautiful ride.
It has. And it's a God thing. I think one thing that I want to share that you and I have done, especially I think it went to a new level in 2020, is when it comes to race, even as you're watching and listening to this, you may be thinking about different lenses, different angles, different ways of seeing this, talking about it. And I think that this subject, unfortunately, especially in our country, so it brings about so much reaction that we often don't sit and just talk. And what you and I did in 2020, when there was tension in our country around COVID, of course, race, and police, just the whole thing, was moving parts, to say the least.
And again, we've talked about this before.
Yeah, we did. But 2020, it seemed like it just, because of the tension in our country, it heightened everything. But we would talk to each other, and I would ask you, tell me how you feel about this. Tell me, how does this hit you? How do you see this, or this subject, or this, whatever came up that day? It seemed like every day something was coming up. And then you would ask me. And then we would talk about it, and it wasn't points of argument. It was points of seeking to understand each other. And I think that's a huge component to this, is that my understanding, my perspective of life, the way I've lived my life with my family, is by no means the way other people have lived, whether they're white, whether they're black, Hispanic, Asian, from another country. Everyone has a different family. Everyone has a different experience. Mm-hmm. So it behooves me to listen and learn. And that doesn't mean I have to understand it all or agree with it all, but it means I need to respect people, of course, you, my wife, and sit at the table and listen and learn. We have done that with each other, even with our marriage, just in general. I think we've done better, and we're getting better and better at that, just in general topics. But that's how, to me, we bond and grow. And I think we've done that. God graced us with that. And I hope that every one of us can have friends that are different than us. Mm-hmm. I hope every one of us can have a friend. You may not marry someone that's not the same ethnicity as you, or be interracially married, but I think all of us can benefit from having friends that are raised different, different ethnicity, connect with people from a different culture, connect with people from a different background, economically, rural, urban, different stuff. Why not? Let's learn. Let's process. Let's be around people and grow and not be afraid of that, because there's beauty in diversity. Mm-hmm. And when you think about when the church started in Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up and preaches, and the Bible lists 18 nations in the Middle East, in Africa, in other parts of that time. They were all together in Jerusalem, and the church started like that. Mm-hmm. And so to me, we've taken this unique dynamic, and we're using it to bring us closer together. And it's been a great ride, and I believe our best days are ahead. And I just hope that others can do the same thing, and that are doing that, and that's how we move forward, and that we come together at the table of brotherhood, literally, in Christ Jesus, and that we move together as a team, and that we put Jesus above it all. And that's what we do, too. We put Jesus above race in our house. We have chosen that we are Christ followers, so Jesus is first. And then we celebrate our cultural heritage. And from Jesus is the focus and is the value system that we've gathered for our family.
Yeah.
And our marriage.
And you have led us well in that, because he would say to me, I'm not raising our kids to be black kids. Mm-hmm. I'm just not doing it. We're not doing it.
Or raising them to be white kids.
We're not doing it. We're raising them to be children of God.
Right.
And honestly, I was like, huh? Like, is that possible? Like, because our country, I mean, what do you mean? But you were setting it, the foundation of, no, they are disciples of Christ. Mm-hmm. And we are only here for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. And this is how we're going to lead our family. Right. And so that was eye-opening for me. Like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I think for 2020, for me, it's crazy to say it, I think, out loud to people, I guess, but that was one of my best years. Mm. And really, it was because I met Jesus that year. I mean, you meet Jesus all the time, but yeah. you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I came to him. We were having breakfast. This was in the fall. And I said to him, I was like, babe, I got to get my life together. Like, I got to get my life. And you were like, oh, babe, you look great. Like, you don't need to lose any weight. I was like, what are you talking about? I'm not talking about weight. I know I look good. I'm talking about I need the Lord.
She looked good.
And you
do need the Lord.
And I went on a fast. And I just spiritually, my soul, I think because of 2020, you know, my soul was just so hurt and, you know, upset. It was just like my back was against the wall in so many ways. I remember our family, you know, around 4th of July, and I just couldn't really celebrate. Like, I was just like, is this all just fake? Like, I, you know, my mind, it was just, there was so much going on.
Sure.
And actually, one of my sister-in-laws, you know, after that whole ordeal, like later on, she was just like, Summer, you look better, you know? And I didn't say anything, but I was just like, wow, you know, people can, my family can see this on my face. But point of it is, I had a fast, and that fast just rocked my world. Like, you know, I met God that year, and a whole nother, it was like I got saved all over again.
So good.
And so from that, I think when it comes to race, like, you really cannot stand on, you know, my rights or, you know, who I am as a Black, white, Asian, Latino, you know, whatever. You can't really stand on that. You have to stand on who who God is and who you are in God. Like, I think about Job. I think about that story, and I think about his friends. You know, he had four friends, and Elihu, the youngest one, and he was the last one who spoke. He was the one who, I say, brought Jesus, or not Jesus, but God's presence, because after he spoke, God spoke. And out of when God was like, okay, you know, he rebuked his friends. He didn't rebuke Elihu. He only rebuked the other three. And what I'm bringing this to when it comes to race is that Elihu, even though Job has... like me, like, not like me, but you understand what I'm saying? Like, his back was against the wall. Like, he was just like, what have I done? Like, you know, what about, you know, this? What about this? Like, I've tried to do this for you, whatever. And Elihu said, you never defended God. And that just, like, touches me, because it's like, regardless of whatever you've gone through or your experience, it does not equate to who God is. Like, his magnitude of who he truly is, the creator of the ends of the earth. Like, you can't, there's no equation of that. He is God. Like, your experience is like, bloop, you know, just a little small amount, particle out of all of who he is. And so, ultimately, I say that to say, in order to have a conversation, in order to, like, really move in life, you got to know who God is. You got to defend God. You got to stand on his principles. You got to stand on his word and see who you are in him.
I love it.
And then you're able to move forward. Yep. And then you know, as a couple, you can stand strong together. Yep. And it's like, who cares what other people think? Yep. You know, my brother said that to us. I think we were talking about something, and he was just like, nobody care about y'all.
And he's right. They care about themselves.
They care about them. Yeah. You know, they're going to say stuff, but ultimately it's like, why is that paying rent in your mind?
It's good.
It shouldn't.
And really, I think for all of us, I'm going back to what you said about how we raise our kids. We're raising them to be children of God first. Mm-hmm. Of course, they have Black heritage and white heritage in them. Mm-hmm. We're not saying that's not the case, but we're just saying that the focus is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And really, I would say white people, that's the same thing. It's our focus is Jesus, not anything else. As we come to Christ, no matter our ethnicity, no matter where we come from, now I belong to him. I'm in Christ. He's the head of my life. I'm his child. My ethnicity, my cultural heritage, my family tree, my story, all that's intact. But it's just a realignment of God's number one. So my identity is coming from him. He made me. He knows my ethnicity. He made me that way. But he's number one now, so I'm doing life through him. And that doesn't negate or belittle our heritage,
right,
our culture, our ethnicity, or even being a male, being a female. All that is intact. It's just Jesus is number one. That's what encourages us today. That's a huge truth, that he determines our lifestyle. He determines how we live. He determines how we love each other. He determines how we think about marriage, how we think about parenting, and how I think about white people and black people and Asian people and Hispanic people and my friends in Africa, Europe, and Asia, and South America. We have friends all over the world. That's, we're seeing people through him.
Yeah.
And when that happens, we have a bedrock that we can stand on and, I would say, endure.
Right. And I'll just, you know, in a practical stance too, I did have counseling, I think that year or maybe the year after. And I remember a Latina woman in Texas, she said to me, she goes, honey, no one will ever understand what a black woman experience is. You'll never understand what a white man's experience is.
Good.
And it just, like, I had to get off. I remember getting off the call and then just walking around the church. Like, I had, it was like so much, I guess, mourning for me. Like, oh my gosh. Because in my mind, it was like, no, you're supposed to understand. You are supposed to know that if I'm hurting, that you need to, like, listen. Like, you need to, like, have empathy. And everyone doesn't know that.
Right.
Granted, that's in the Word of God, but everyone doesn't know that. Everyone doesn't, hasn't, anyway, been taught, anyway, been taught that. And so when she said that to me, I was just like, oh, you're right. So it's like, why am I putting these expectations on people, you know?
It's good.
And it's, yeah, I don't have a clear answer on like how to answer, answer on when people ask the question. So how do you do this?
Yeah.
You know, it's a dance.
It is a dance. I would say in closing that we do it because we have God first. I'm not trying to be over spiritual, but you know, we believe that God connected us. There was a natural attraction, friendship and all that, but we believe God connected us. We base our life on Jesus.
Can I just say something real quick? I know you're about to do closing.
Go ahead.
But when I was single, granted, I wasn't trying to look after or look for no man, right? I wasn't. Don't even play. Believe me, I wasn't.
She saw me and chased me down. Whatever. I said, girl, slow down.
But here's the thing. Like, I didn't care. I mean, he had to look good. Let's just be for real. But I didn't care what ethnicity, you know, all I really wanted, and it wasn't about your title too, because Lord knows I didn't want to be married to no pastor.
Pastors need love too, Summer. Come on now.
Well, I didn't have to be Summer at that time, Hall.
Yes, it did.
Summer Hall. But I knew all I wanted was a God-fearing man.
Right.
And I think, and I just want to speak that to, I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, you can have your list and you can be like, man, you know, Lord, I want him to be tall and dark and handsome, whatever. But really, you need a God-fearing man in your life, a God-fearing woman in your life.
That's right. Above everything else.
Yes. Because, and I'll say this, I remember driving, because I'm talking about God-fearing man. I remember driving, this is before I even thought about this man. And the Holy Spirit came in my car and I felt this love. And I felt, and this is, I want to say before I got saved, because I wasn't at the church
then.
That's
the mercy of God.
Yeah. Tell me about
it. And
the
grace.
He came in my car and again, I didn't know what this really was, but I just remember feeling this love and I just remember seeing like all these colors and I had this download like, oh my gosh, who am I going to marry? Like, is this going to be someone in Asia? Like, I was just like, oh, this is crazy, you know, of like who I was going to marry. And I just threw that in the back burner. I was just like, whatever. Cause I was still dating the other guy at that time.
So today I want to encourage you.
You can cut that out, team.
I want to encourage you today to think about if you're married interracially, you can bond, you can grow, you can love, you can go to new levels. If you're not, doesn't matter. We can all grow together, be together, connect. and let Jesus bond us together and celebrate diversity, because heaven does. Mm-hmm. And we can do it right now on earth. So we believe in you and we love you. Please like, subscribe, and share. We'd be honored if you do that. And please rate us. We're doing our best to bring you content, and we can't wait to see you for the next episode, part two, as we talk about politics.
Oh my gosh.
Let's get it. See you then.